football fans, and welcome to the CBFA podcast with your hosts, James Parks and Cole Fortner.
Hello and welcome to yet another episode of the CBFA podcast. Myself, Cole Fortner, alongside me, James Parks, as always. And going over playoffs because those have started, James.
That's right. It is playoff time again.
Not just for us, but for the MLB. And that's just unfortunate timing as of time of recording.
Jays are giving up home runs.
There was a day on Saturday.
Yes.
And kind of unexpected in some degrees.
Well, that's why we play the games. We had some unexpected results.
And we'll get to those. You were there, not there. Sorry, wow words. You were not there for the morning games.
Correct.
We had the Div 2 semifinals to start the day, which I was again watching through the camera lens. I will do my best to comment on those as I can. Day started off with the Mavericks taking on the Stampeders, and it was actually one of our closer games of the day. It was very back and forth. The Mavericks scored the touchdown in the first quarter, which was different than their regular season meeting, where all the scoring came in the fourth quarter. And they held an 8-0 lead for the majority of that game. It was kind of just a midfield battle for both teams. The Stampeders got close at one point in time to scoring, but they, inside the 5-yard line, they fumbled the ball. It was like the first time they'd been that close to the end zone, they fumbled the ball, the Mavericks recovered it.
Oh, heartbreaking.
The defense stood tall and got the 3-and-out, and on the third down, the Mavericks continued the safety for field position, and it just pinned the Stampeders back at their own, what was that, 35 that they start off of?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they just couldn't get back. In that point in time, it was, I think it was in the last 5 minutes of the game.
Oh.
But other than that, like, it was, I think it was more of a defensive battle for both those teams. The Mavericks were, interestingly enough, kind of, I think their coaching staff was watching, have been watching the Eagles, Philadelphia Eagles a little bit. They were going for a push style approach to their offense.
Oh, yeah.
Not actually going with the tush push because that's illegal in Canadian football.
That's right. That's called a line dunk.
They were lining up everybody right in the box and looking like they were going to go for the QB keeper, even if they were trying for runs. And a lot of those plays just really did not work. So not like it just looked like they had a new play package installed and stuff just for the week's games. And I mean, it worked enough to get them one win and one touchdown.
Yeah.
But it's really all they needed.
It's all they needed on this day anyways.
Yeah. That was followed by the most intense game of the day between the Bulldogs and the Colts. I think that one was probably the most unexpected game of the day because we weren't expecting it to be as close as it was. I don't think anybody was expecting this game to really be close based off of how these teams performed throughout the entirety of the regular season and stuff, and even in their last meeting especially. I think we were definitely expecting the score to be lopsided in favor of the Bulldogs, but the Colts were a good surprise. Again, the Bulldogs scored, I think they scored relatively early, like first half, and were able to hold that lead until the fourth quarter, and the Colts got a really nice pass. Don't remember off the top of my head Who caught it? I did get photos of it, but I took a lot of photos this weekend, so I don't fully remember. And with that, they were able to score the touchdown, which actually tied the game at that point in time without the convert, because the Bulldogs had conceded a safety not long before that. So it was 8-2 for the Bulldogs before that touchdown happened. Then the Colts tried to kick the convert, but it was blocked. Then there was a penalty on the convert because I think the Bulldogs went offside. So they retried it, and again, kicker sent it right into the wall. So it was still 8-8.
Wow.
Again, because that was late in the game, neither team was able to do anything afterwards, and we actually ended up going into overtime. And yes, we did milk that a little bit on social media, but again, the last time we had overtime was, I think, 2 years ago between the Eagles and the Wildcats.
Yeah.
I have the stats somewhere. I'm not going back and looking at that right now. And yeah, so I actually, perk to being a director and being able to do whatever I want because I felt like it. I actually went out onto the field into, well, I stood out of it, but I was onto the field recording the coin toss for it. So I was able to hear the explanations that the referees were giving to each head coach and a captain for both the teams. The Colts won the coin toss and decided to take first possession. I don't fully know what happened in terms of the thought processes, but it seemed like the Colts were thinking that it was like NFL style overtime, where each team would get one kick of the cat first, and then it would be first to score afterwards if it was still level. I'm not entirely sure. Don't come at me if that's not entirely what happened. That's my assumption and how I perceived what happened following this. And what ended up happening was the Colts had first possession. They punted the ball away. And the Bulldogs got a possession. They punted the ball away. On the Colts' second possession, again, they punted the ball away. On the Bulldogs' second possession, they threw an interception. During this time, during the, I think it was during the Colts, it was actually, yeah, it was during the Colts' second drive, their head coach asked if it was still one possession each or if it was one and done. So that's where I'm thinking the confusion came into play of the not fully understanding what the referees explained and the explanation of it's CFL, regardless of what happens, everyone gets equal chances on offense. And there was the clarification from myself because I was in that coin toss. I knew what had happened and what was said. And I confirmed that it was still everybody gets it's one and one. Everybody gets one possession each way. So then the Bulldog or then the Colts punted, and on the Bulldogs second drive, they threw an interception. On the Colts' third drive, they got the ball closer to the end zone, kicked the ball through the end zone, but there's a penalty flag. Tried it again a couple of plays later because they had the penalty flag ended up putting them closer to the end zone. So they tried it again, like 3 plays later. Got it through the end zone, and their players started celebrating, believing that the game was finished. But because they had first possession and first try, the Bulldogs still had
One
an
more
attempt.
possession.
The Bulldogs went, ran the ball, got into, I think, 10 yards of the end zone, kicked a field goal on third down, and then won the game 11-9. And
How about
then
that?
I heard afterwards that there was some complaining about the fact that because the Bulldogs threw an interception, they believed that the game should have ended
Well,
when that
no.
wasn't the case.
That's not the case at all. When the interception was thrown, Both teams had equal possessions and were tied on the scoreboard, so the game would just continue from there. But they would each get one more possession.
And that's the thing is it's CFL style. If that had happened on like the other way around, where the Bulldogs, if the Bulldogs went first and threw the interception, and then the Colts got the Rouge, then yes, the game would have been done. But it's because the Colts went first, the Bulldogs, regardless of what the Colts did, even if the Bulldogs didn't throw an interception, the Bulldogs punched away on their third on their previous drive. At any point in time, if the Colts had scored, the Bulldogs had opportunity to match or better that score. I think the only time there's a difference would be, which the referees explained, was say the Colts got the interception, they ran down the field and fumbled the ball, and the Bulldogs picked it up at the 5 yard line, like their own 5 yard line. Well, then the Bulldogs' drive would start at that 5 yard line. So that's where the only live possession would come in. Otherwise, it just defaults back to the 35s. And then I think there was something about after an X amount of drives, I think it was after like three or four drives, then the teams would have had to have gone for the our 1 point convert attempt, the CFL 2 point convert attempt, where they would have had to have passed or run it in. I don't know the full explanation behind that, but that is, I do vaguely remember that. And again, that video was recorded and is on our social media of the referee explanation. So it is there. If
And it's
anybody wants to review it.
pretty clear.
So I think there was just a misunderstanding in general. I don't, and now I'll just leave it at that. And yeah, the Bulldogs end up taking that one 9-11, and we'll take on the Mavericks this coming weekend.
Yeah, so that sets up the Division Two final, which will go at 10:30. We'll look ahead to those finals a bit. We already know the Division Three final that's going to start today. That'll be between the Rebels and the Lions. And then so the afternoon had the Division One games, which I had the honor and privilege of announcing. The first one, first semifinal, was between the Wildcats and the Eagles. And although both teams came in with identical 7-2 records, we knew this was going to be a close one. They've played so many other close games. I think the surprise here was that the Wildcats were as dominating as they were. I think we were all expecting another one of those, 11-9 triple overtime games like we saw just previous in the Bulldogs Colts game. Wildcats definitely looked strong in the first half on both offense and defense. They managed to score three touchdowns and a field goal in the first half while holding the Eagles to just one major. And then in the second half, it was pretty much a Wildcats clinic in ball possession. They dominated ball possession. Lewis Wang was finding gaps, breaking tackles, making first downs, keeping the ball on the ground, and the Wildcats just basically ran the Eagles out of time. So. Eagles weren't able to take the ball away either. That was probably, one of the things that they may regret from this one. They had issues moving the ball all day against that Wildcat defense, with the exception of one drive in each half. In the opening half, they managed to score, and in the second half, although they probably could have scored, it was late in the game, and they probably forced the issue because they were running out of time, and by then the game was pretty much decided anyway. So, final score in that one was 31-8 for the Wildcats over the Eagles. Some notable players of the game. notable players and the players of the game. So for the Eagles, Oliver Bennett was outstanding. And also playing well for the Eagles was Jacob Synan. And then for the Wildcats, Lewis Hwang, of course, was probably he was selected as the player of the game, but he was like by far the best player out there on either side. But the other notable performance for the Wildcats was quarterback Josh McIntosh. He had a very solid game throwing the ball, finding his receivers, escaping the pressure when it did come from that Eagles defense. So it was a solid game for the Wildcats, but they've got a big challenge up in front of them coming up in the Div 1 final, because they will be facing the Raiders, who in the other semifinal took on the Cowboys. And coming into this one, we expected the Raiders to roll their undefeated 9-0. Cowboys were 6-3 as the fourth seed. So yeah, no surprises in the first half as the Raiders offense moved the ball, scored twice. Christian McGlagot ran up the middle. They had him running up the middle all day, and the Cowboys couldn't stop him. Cowboys were also unable to put together any sustained drives of their own against a really stiff Raiders defense. It was 14-0 Raiders at the half, and in the second half, the dam kind of burst open, and they ended up running away with it. So the final score was Raiders 40, Cowboys 0. Players of the game in this one for the Cowboys, Max Pietelli had an excellent game. He was returning kickoffs and punts, but he was also solid on defense, making a number of tackles. For the Raiders, Christian McGlagot was the player of the game, but other notable performances from the Raiders, quarterback Davin Bacaboni and their receiver Peyton Grant. They hooked up numerous times for big plays up the sidelines. Yeah, it was a another solid performance from the Raiders. And although the Cowboys played well, they ran into a juggernaut, and so their season is done. And
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that the Raiders have that a lot of teams don't is, that multi-headed monster that they have on offense where they can run the ball, they can pass, and they can pass to several guys. Whereas it's, I think, looking back at the other Div 1 semifinals, during the regular season, the Eagles are passing the ball extremely well. Saturday was extremely windy down at Cholet, so it was. It kind of killed the aerial game a lot, and I think it hindered the Eagles a lot more in that first Div 1 semifinal, because again the Wildcats are predominantly run heavy team, and it definitely looked like the Eagles probably the Eagles' worst game of the season.
Yeah, I would say.
But yeah, and that steps up the fact is like the Raiders, they can run the ball. Their quarterbacks can run the ball. Their backup quarterback can run the ball. Their backup quarterback and their starting quarterback can both throw the ball and they can both hit multiple targets, without any issues at all. And it's setting up for this Wildcat Raider final is like the Wildcats have a lot on their plate, a lot of pieces that they need to cover in it, If you compare it to an NFL team, it's kind of similar to the Baltimore Ravens when they're healthy. You have to take away the threat of Lamar Jackson being able to move the ball in the air and on the ground, and then, Henry also being able to move the ball on the ground. So, you kind of have to play off the running back, but then it's like, oh, well, if you play off the running back, well, what's the quarterback going to run out and do? And
Oh,
the
I think
quarterback
the
can read the play so well and find an open receiver. It's like crap.
biggest difference there is without Lamar Jackson, the Ravens are almost neutralized, whereas,
Yeah, it's hurting my fantasy a little
the
bit.
Raiders are the Raiders were able to keep rolling when they had Bank of
Yeah.
Bobboni out. So
Yeah. Yeah,
so we
that's
have
the only thing that's different about the comparison.
yeah but we have an exciting weekend of finals coming up this Saturday. Three big
That
games.
we do. Start off the day with the Lions taking on the Rebels. That will go at 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. It's a little later than our usual morning starts. The last time these two teams played was back in week five, where the Lions defeated the Rebels 22-8. And yeah.
Right. And just so everyone's clear, the Lions had, three wins and a tie taken away from them, and they were only allowed to keep one win because the player in question was not on the roster for that win. That win was against the Rebels. So that win is the only one that stood for the season for the Lions.
And now, does it mean that because that game finished 22-8, that it will be anything like that
Nope.
in on Saturday? No, because the Rebels have, yes, the standings don't show it. The Rebels have had a much, much better season than what the standings show. They're really unfortunate with some of their first few games where they lost the games late.
Yeah.
If they can keep, they can score early against the Lions, and their defense can not
Make some
get
stops.
gassed.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not just make stops, but it's continuing to make those stops late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Because the Rebels have lost multiple games in the last minute of the fourth quarter. If they can hold on in that last minute ahead, then they have a really, really good chance to win that game. For the last couple of weeks, the Lions have struggled to score.
Yeah, they have. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
We did predictions. We always do predictions before city finals. Something we do on the podcast.
That's what we do.
My genius self forgot to write those down, what I said.
You forgot your picks?
I know the teams that I picked. I forgot the scores that I picked, and we always do the scores.
Oh yeah. Well, I can't remember the scores I picked in the trailer either.
I do have, while I do think the Rebels do have a good chance to take this game, I do have the Lions taking, I think the Lions just have a bit more in their depth, and we'll take this the Div 3 final.
Yeah, and I agree. I think it's probably going to be a fairly close one, though. I don't think it's going to get out of hand. So I'm guessing it's going to be probably, no more than two score difference.
Yeah, and we'll record. We have our scores written down in that show list. We'll make sure we jot them down, and we'll talk about them next week,
Yeah.
next week's podcast episode. Yeah, that leads to, once that game finishes up and our first trophy of the day is presented, we will have the Div 2 finals, which will be between the Bulldogs and the Mavericks. The last time these two teams played, I believe, it was again early in the season.
It was like week two or something.
James, you are bang on the money. It was week two.
Who? How about that?
I'm not giving you anything for it, though. And that game was an 8-6 final for the
Yes.
Bulldogs.
I remember in the trailer, I predicted that we would have another 8-6 final and
I think I had
another
8-6
victory from
the
the
other way.
Bulldogs.
No, I think I had 10-6 or 10-8 or something like that. I don't fully remember. I have a close game as well. I guess safety is going to play into fact in this game. But What I will note primarily from that point is the Mavericks season following that improved.
Yes.
Because week one, the Mavericks got absolutely obliterated by the Wildcats. Then they had the Bulldogs in a close loss in week two. Week three, they managed to just edge out the Rebels. Week four, they had a bigger win against the Colts. So things, while they didn't have the greatest of results in some of their other games, because they had tougher opponents like the Raiders, and the Eagles, their progression went up throughout the season, whereas
Yeah.
the Bulldogs had the harder schedule later in the season, and while they started 3-0, their progression went the opposite direction.
Yeah.
So I think that the Mavericks will probably get an upset in this game. I think it's going to be extremely close. I think it's going to be a very big defensive battle. My issue is, or my thought on this is, the Mavericks offense just isn't scoring much. So they're really going to have to rely on their defense in this game.
Yeah, they really will.
If the Bulldogs score two or three touchdowns, it's probably gonna be easy game over.
Yep. So,
So I don't see, unfortunately, I don't see the Mavericks scoring more than two touchdowns.
yeah.
I see the Mavericks taking that game, but I don't see them scoring more than three touchdowns. I don't even see them scoring more than two.
Well, I'm going with the Bulldogs mainly because I picked them to win Division Two at the beginning of the season, our preseason predictions. So I'm sticking with that because that's the only one that I have possibility of getting right.
And then once that is all said and done, we have our Division One final, which features the Raiders taking on the Wildcats. Last time these two teams played, was, I believe, also early in the season. Yep, week three, where the Raiders took this one 33-6. I'm really, really, really hoping that this game is going to be a lot closer than that.
Yeah. We all want an exciting game.
And while I did say in our preseason prediction that I have the Wildcats upsetting the Raiders with a late score, unfortunately, just with how this season has gone, while I would like that to happen to keep my preseason prediction correct, unfortunately, I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, it's highly unlikely, but again, they got to play the games, right?
And yeah, it's, you never know what could happen. Both these teams have earned the right to be playing in this city final.
Yeah, they both deserve to be there, and that's the important thing. So this year there'll only be one tier one team move or division one team moving on to the tier one provincial playoffs.
Yeah, so you have to win.
So you got to win the cities.
Well, you have to win in all three levels because all three levels have provincial games.
That's right. So
Regardless of what
you'll.
happens, it's always going to be the winner for Div 2 and the winner for Div 3.
Yeah.
I say always, it's only Div 3 as of last year. Rebels still have the potential to defend their title from last year.
That's
If
true.
not, then the Lions will be defending the Rebels' title from last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, then the Bulldogs and the Mavericks will be looking to defend the Wildcats title from last year. The Wildcats won Div 2 city finals and the Tier 3 provincial final.
Yeah.
But then,
Yeah,
yeah.
they had a pretty good season last year and continue that in spring too.
Yeah, and yeah, so yeah, with the Tier 1 provincial final, it rotates the hosting duties, quote unquote hosting duties, rotate between Edmonton, Calgary in area, and I guess south, the south region of Alberta, which is Lethbridge, Raymond, McGrath, Cardston. So it's they have the hosting rotation this year, so they get two teams into the semifinals, their winner and their runner-up. Looking at their website, they haven't updated things in a hot minute though, so I don't even know who's in their finals this weekend. Yeah, so it should be an interesting Saturday and a good couple of weeks coming up for stuff. And select tryouts start after the provincial final. Hopefully, we have our Div 1 winner in that provincial final again. But it's not going to be an easy path to get there.
No, it will not. It's going to be a tough go, but
We believe in all likeliness that because we play the Sampa champion, that it's going to be Raymond
probably.
in the first round, which means another trip down to Raymond. So,
And so that's what's coming up this weekend. If you're going to be down at Schold Ice Park, then get in on the 50-50, the select 50-50 while you can. We've got one more draw. It will be happening this Saturday. So I believe it's open now. You can start to buy your tickets if you've got the link, I think, the QR code. If not,
yeah, I need to look on Raffle Box to see if it's there. I haven't done that yet.
but yeah, the
It's usually posted pretty early after the next one.
Yeah. So the final one will be basically this weekend. You can get in on the draw right up until 5 p.m. Draw will be at 5:30. And the last week's winner, the final 2 week length of draw for the season, was one. That one was just over $1,300 taken home. So
Which was the most we've had
yeah.
in all of our five draws so far.
So it helps that they got that machine, hey? Now Mary's got a machine that she can take through the crowd, and instead of only being able to take cash or directing people to a raffle box or the QR code,
Yeah, scan the QR code, yeah.
she can actually take, with the machine, she can take your credit card right there. So she can take cash or credit, or if you prefer, you can use the QR code and get it from raffle box directly yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like you said, the selects aren't going to be starting tryouts until after the provincial finals, so it's a bit later this year than normal, and that's because the selects will be traveling to Vancouver for a tournament, and their provincials finish a week later than ours do, so that's why the delay.
Well, and yeah, we keep on the same practice time frame, but I kind of don't understand that in one regard because it's like you could have another week of practices minus
Yeah,
your
but your top
injuries.
teams are able to
Yeah.
focus a little more on their own playoffs. So,
Yeah.
either
So in
way,
that regard, it's nicer, but
yeah,
then yeah, I'll
the
be
season
providing
isn't
up.
quite over for some of our players, even though some of our teams have been eliminated. Some of their players have received their invites to selects, and we wish them all good luck. Can't wait to see what happens.
And I'll be providing updates on that again this year,
Beautiful.
as well as likely streaming the game out of Vancouver. We're working on that ability. So we'll update that more later as we go, probably next week. But the plan is, again, like last year, to stream the games on the CBFA Selects YouTube page. And we'll have my live play-by-play. And I won't be roasting the ref like I did last year in Vegas.
Too bad. That was entertaining.
I might. Who knows how the tournament goes? It's all our own personal broadcast, right? So I can have a little bit more leeway. Yeah, I know. So it'll be good. It'll be interesting. Definitely a lot different weather-wise, especially from Vegas, but it'll be good regardless. Definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, should be good.
And yeah, I think for now,
That's it.
watching more Jays. Hopefully the playoff games go well. Of course, time of recording, we are in the middle of game three. And James missed the Alejandro Kirk throw on home run.
Oh, nice.
You're busy explaining one of the games. I was celebrating. Yeah, you can figure out when we're recording this based off of that. And
So, in the
yeah, in
meantime,
the meantime,
go
we're
baseball.
back to watching baseball. And I guess in the meantime, we're just gonna say go football, and we'll see you all at Schultheis Athletic Park on Saturday for the
Yeah.
T finals.
See you, Schultheis, on Saturday. Go football.
The CBFA podcast is brought to you by longtime players of the game sponsor, Wolf Cadillac Calgary. Check out their selection of new and used vehicles at their new location, 756 100 First Street, Southwest Calgary, or online, www.wolfcadillaccalgary.com. We would also like to thank the Canadian Brewhouse and the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation for their sponsorship of the CBFA. Support such as theirs is essential for minor football in Alberta to continue to grow and thrive. Thank you for listening.